11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
Yes, hello everybody. The League Podcast back for another week. Welcome along. We're going to look at the Championship featured games. We're going to have a look at the best bets in League 1 and League 2. We're going to have both teams to score a double and a couple of naps in the company of Pete Farris. How are you doing, Pete?
Hello, how are you?
Excellent, thank you. Very good. Should we start? Straight in. Pleasantries
just,
over
just with. Get on with it. Let's just do this.
Forest versus Doncaster Rovers. 4-7 the price for Nottingham Forest. 14-5 the draw. And Doncaster Rovers are priced up at 5-1. Forest are fifth on 56 points. And Doncaster Rovers, they're 36 points in 20th position. 7 points ahead of the relegation zone where Yeovil, Barnsley and Charlton sit. Nottingham Forest... the form is drifted, to say the least. Haven't won a game anywhere since 11th of February, which was a 3-0 win over Huddersfield Town. Lost at Sheffield United in the Cup. Drew at Leicester, that's all right. Lost at Burnley, that's all right. Lost 4-1 to Wigan, that's all right. Lost to Barnsley and drew at Middlesbrough. So it's not all bad news, Pete. I mean, you could massage that form, couldn't you? Donny have just had two good wins, scoring two goals in each, both at home. But their away form was dreadful before that. They lost 5-0 to Bournemouth.
Yeah, this is the interesting thing about this game. The Forest recently have been going through a sticky run of form, but they have played Wigan, they have played Burnley, they have played Leicester within the last five games. Admittedly, maybe not the result they would have wanted or expected against Barnsley, but don't forget Barnsley are fighting for their lives, and they got a quote-unquote controversial draw against Middlesbrough on Tuesday night. But the thing is, you can't go with Doncaster because of that away form you mentioned. No goal in four of the last five. This is a team who, away from home all season, have won just once, and that was a narrow 1-0 victory over Sheffield Wednesday. So it's impossible to go with Doncaster Rovers. And then you go deeper into Nottingham Forest's home form. So the last two games at home, they've been destroyed by Wigan, who are absolutely flying, and they've drawn with Leicester. Before that, they hit 4-4-3. Now, when you look at that in relation to a 4-7, so some people would look and say, well, Forest's general form of 4-7 is not good enough to make me want to back that. But their home form, and also when you factor in who they've played, suggests that they probably are, when the final piece of the puzzle, the final piece of the equation, is Doncaster's poor away form. So actually what I felt here was, one interesting market was Nottingham Forest and over 2.5 goals. There is no way for me that the Forest to win and both teams to score is a play because of that dreadful Doncaster Rovers away form lately in terms of scoring goals. And yes, they've improved with two back-to-back home wins, and yes, that can sometimes inform form generally, can't it? It can improve your form generally. Picking up a couple of wins might push you into a win away from home. But Forest and over 2.5 is 6-5. And that looked really good to me, because when you consider the Forest before that, you know, their home games recently, 5 goals, 6 goals, 4 goals, 4 goals, 5 goals. They've scored goals against good teams, and I just don't think on the road Doncaster Rovers can match that amount of goals if Forest get their eye back in again. The other way into this, if you want one for your over 2.5 goal hackers this weekend, he's over 2.5 goals of 4-5. Now, the argument would be that maybe that's a little bit weaker because of, again, Doncaster's lack of ability to score goals away from home. But I mean, you also add in, when you factor in the fact that you can get Forest over 2.5 goals and they've been scoring threes and twos and fours at home recently, that is probably a good way in as well. So for me, decided pretty simply that the Forest of 4-7, despite generally poor five-game form on the face of things, I think listeners, punters, have got to remember who they've played and those games being away from home sometimes. So that's the thing for me. 4-7 is fine, but the main bet there, Forest and over 2.5 goals at 6-5.
Let's have a look at Leicester versus Blackpool next. 4-11 Leicester, about as short as you get in the Championship. 100-30 the draw. And 9-1 the price for Blackpool, who are on 38 points, so well clear of the drop zone. in 18th position now, just recorded their first win in a while, beating Millwall. I say in a while, it's the first win since the 30th of November. Absolutely dreadful form, but finally got 3 points at a Ricardo Fuller goal early on, and that was enough. Leicester, no such problems for them. 7 points clear at the top of the table, better goal difference than everyone else, and they've won the last three championship games 3-0 in succession, Pete. 3-0 Ipswich, 3-0 Charlton, 3-0 away at Barnsley as well. See any change in the result?
No. I think we're now at the level of processions, aren't we, for Leicester? 7 points clear with the game in hand over second. I think we're in procession stakes now. They're 15 points clear of Derby County in third. I mean, obviously, we all know that's obviously 3 points a win. That would take a lot of wins and Leicester to fall apart. Leicester get three or four more wins, they're up. It's as pure and as simple as that. And Derby, of course, with a tricky game this weekend against Reading, it's going to make it possibly even more vital that Leicester just keep this run of form going. They've just been scoring goals, and they look absolutely unbelievable. They've had one of their players nominated for Player of the Year. They just generally look absolutely brilliant. And they've got a man in Jamie Vardy who has scored, four goals in three games and looks great, great shakes as well. I mean, 4-11 is good enough. They have now, if this was a sort of Tour de France, they're in the yellow jersey going up the Champs-Élysées. It's as simple as that. They are looking unbelievably good. Jamie Vardy's 10-11 any time. Now, for a man who scored four goals in three games, that looks ridiculous to me. And yes, Blackpool got a great win, an important win at home against Millwall the other day, but it was against the Millwall side who are also struggling. And I think the thing you've got to bear in mind is that it was a good win, a vital win for Blackpool, but I do think that maybe at the moment, coming up against the Leicester side, there is no one in this league, not a team around right now with the way they're playing, who can stop them. I considered the minus two goals in this, knowing, of course, that they'd won 3-0, 3-0, 3-0. The minus two might interest some listeners, and I wouldn't blame them for that at 12-5, but I also love the minus a goal at 17-20. It means that they can still score a couple, as we expect them to do, and maybe not go to town on Blackpool in the way they have done on the teams recently, you know. It's kind of a nice little middle ground, giving yourself some value for a decent shout while maybe not trying to stretch yourself too much. I think minus a goal at 17-20 is brilliant. I think Jimmy Vardy any time at 10-11 is great. And for any Acker, if you wanted to bump it up for William Hill's Acker Insurance, 4-11 Leicester looks great as well. They are in procession days.
Yeah, Millwall Charlton, 7-5 Millwall, 21-10 the draw, and 21-10 for Charlton as well. Millwall on 21 points, 2 points above the drop zone. Charlton, rock bottom of the division. They have got lots of games in hand, Pete. Three on Barnsley, three on Yeovil. It's almost like, hey, how did that happen, isn't it? It's almost a bit like, hang on a minute, they weren't bottom.
Yeah, it seems to have almost crept up a little bit, hasn't it? Of course, the pitch sometimes has made things difficult for Charlton to complete games. I'm thinking the Doncaster game and others as well, where they've got those games in hand. I mean, they've got four in hand over Millwall.
Yeah.
And there is still a chance. I mean, they're only 3 points off Millwall. A win this weekend would be huge for them. But, of course, they've just employed a new manager. Riga's gone in from AC Milan following the departure of Chris Powell. They've just drawn 0-0 at home with Huddersfield, which I think, for a manager, a 0-0 draw first day out is not the worst thing in the world, to be absolutely honest with you. And also, I mean, they've played a Sheffield United side in blistering form who are making a late charge for League One playoff glory. They've played Leicester, who absolutely battered them. And then, yeah, of course, we've spoken about the FA Cup game between themselves and Sheffield Wednesday. They got a great win over QPR. It's a little bit difficult, though, to be with Millwall, I think. Because if you look, I mean, they've failed to score in three of the last four games. They beat Derby. Great result for them there. Their home form is a little bit bitter. Yes, they've had Reading go there, but they've had, one home win since December the 7th. They are just a side who, for me, look a little bit broken. And, you know, you've got the owner coming out and saying the players we will not be discussing contracts with players. And that's okay to say that privately. To say, listen, until the league season is sorted out, we won't be discussing any contracts. That's fine. But to come out and condemn in the way that the owner did, and say, listen, not a chance that we're talking about this because the players aren't X, Y, and Z. And that was, I think, indicative of what's going on at Millwall at the moment. He went into a side that was set up to defend and be solid by Steve Lomas did Ian Holloway, and it's impossible to immediately turn that team around. He struggled to do so, and I think they're in real trouble, Millwall. I think they're in real, real trouble. Charlton, with their game in hand, you could argue that might, those games might build up, and it might be very hard for them to rotate the squad enough to just get them over the line, and certainly with someone who's not massively experienced in England. I just look, and I just think that Charlton, though, are a really interesting price here, because at 21-10, you know, I mean, you can't bet Millwall at 7-5, one home win since the beginning of December. And knowing that Charlton are at the bottom of the table, knowing that there's maybe been a bit of a week of upheaval, and yes, a popular manager in Chris Powell has gone, but I just think they might be worth a little bit of a nibble here for no other reason than Millwall aren't any better than Charlton, really. And Charlton, I think, got a really solid, important home draw against Huddersfield. So to get draw no bet at 13-10, 13-10 is, I think, very, very good indeed.
Very good. Next up, let's have a look at Burnley versus Leeds. Burnley second in the table, 7 points behind Leicester and 8 points clear of Derby County now. They can almost smell the Premier League. I'm not going to tell you what Leeds can smell at the moment, but I drove past Elland Road the other night, live in Leeds, and the game kicked off late, didn't it, against Reading. I think it kicked off at 8:15. I drove past about 9:30, so there must have been half an hour left, and there were hundreds of people streaming out of the stadium, and I thought, I can probably guess what's going on here. 4-2 defeat at Elland Road, that followed on from a 5-1 defeat by Bolton, and suddenly all those fans who wanted Brian McDermott out and then wanted him to come back because he'd been sacked unfairly now want him out again, Pete.
Yeah, He's been very defiant this week as Brian McDermott, and I've gone on record of saying I'm a big, big, big fan of Brian McDermott.
Especially in his new svelte outlook.
Yeah, yeah, but it's getting pretty bad now, isn't it?
Yes. Losing two home games, conceding 9 goals, isn't clever.
It's not great. I mean, yes, they played Reading, and the Bolton result was an absolutely woeful one.
I think it's more about the players. The fans say the players don't look like they've got that spirit.
Which I think, sadly, comes from the manager to a certain extent as well, doesn't it? I know the players have got to take responsibility for that, but this is a Burnley side who haven't lost at Turf Moor all season.
Yeah, they look decent.
Who've scored 5 goals... Sorry, who've scored 8 goals in 3 games. And just look absolutely devastating.
Against Forest and Derby, by the way, as well.
Against Forest and Derby, yeah, against Forest and Derby. And you're looking at it and saying, look, how on earth... I mean, you look at the price, for example, this weekend.
Yeah, they should be the same price as Leicester.
Yes.
Shouldn't they?
Yeah, they should. That's exactly what I was going to say. I think I gave the price, didn't I?
Sorry, 3-4, 12-5, 4-1. You know, Leeds, on current form and the way Leeds, everything that's happened, Leeds should be the same price as Blackpool and Burnley should be the same price as Leicester.
They haven't scored in 3 away games.
Very hard to make a case, isn't it?
It's borderline impossible.
Apart from it's a championship.
It's borderline impossible, Lee. The fact that you're getting almost even money for Burnley, the only thing you'd say, the only argument you could make for Leeds getting something from this game is that the two games have been so bad, it couldn't possibly get any worse. That's the only argument. I mean, the fact is that Brian McDermott has maybe had a few days to go away, and they'll have worked on defending, and they'll have worked on huge amounts of set-piece defending, and they will have just probably, presumably, just worked on non-stop defending. I assume that's what they'll have done for the last few days. And that might mean they tighten right up. But I don't give pretty much anyone in this league a chance going to Turf Moor. No one. Let alone a side who conceded 9 goals in 2 home games, and now are going away from home having not scored in 3 of the last 5 away games. Burnley at 3-4... You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know as a punter it's a good way in. It might not land, but that's a risk we take as punters. Hills, I think, to be honest, are trying to tempt us in here. They're maybe hoping and expecting that Leeds will improve. I don't think that the form suggests that they should, and I think 3-4. I'll tell you one thing, it won't go off at 3-4 by 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon.
Fair enough. Ipswich versus Wigan is the penultimate game that we'll look at in the Championship. Ipswich 17-10, 21-10 the draw, 17-10. For Wigan, Wigan are 7th, Ipswich are 9th, 55 points and 51 points respectively. So Wigan are only outside the playoffs on goal difference, and what a season they're having now. Beat Manchester City in the FA Cup, of course, and backed that up in midweek with a 1-0 win over Sheffield Wednesday. Just working wonders there at the club. 7 straight wins, only 1 defeat since the 18th of January. That defeat came at Huddersfield Town. Ipswich, they're a little bit inconsistent, but the home form's decent, isn't it, Pete?
It is. I mean, I know that he came out afterwards and after the Man City game and said he followed Roberto Martinez's model of play to try and dispatch Man City, and it was an absolutely unbelievable thing that they did when you consider what Man City are. You look through the team, I mean, this is a side of 1-6 of the last seven championship games, Wigan, isn't it?
Yeah. And five straight away games as well, Pete, including the FA Cup one.
Well, exactly.
Cardiff and City.
But if you look at it, you've got Charlton, you've got Sheffield Wednesday, you've got Barnsley, and you've got Sheffield Wednesday again. Okay, fair enough. You know, some great teams in there. But the way that they've been doing it, it's not been unbelievably devastating. They've been winning games. Yeah, they hit three past Wednesday. But then you look at the teams who are slightly better than them, Brighton and Forest, and they've hit four past Forest, and they've beaten Brighton 2-1. They are just looking absolutely unbelievable. But then you also have to factor in, as a punter here, the fact that Ipswich don't massively lose at home. In fact, they've lost, four times at home all season. But then you go against, we're just flipping side to side here, the teams who've beaten them, QPR, fourth, Leicester, top, Burnley, second. So you say, well, really, only three of the best four teams in the league have beaten Ipswich at home all season. But right now, Wigan are playing like one of those teams. Mm. The way they're winning games, I mean, they haven't conceded in three of the last five matches in the championship they've played. I mean, I'm not even factoring in the win over Man City in this discussion particularly, as phenomenal as it was. And Ipswich haven't conceded in the last four home games. Against Birmingham, against Blackpool, against Bolton, I actually think here that Wigan are a great price to continue that run of form. They're 17-10. Now, the best way to play this in a billion years is the draw-no bet. Of course, don't forget, with the draw-no bet, you don't get your Acura insurance. But 10-11 draw-no bet Wigan as a single, or as part of a draw-no bet Acura, I know that some people have them. 10-11 is brilliant, because you do think that sometimes this could be a game where Ipswich very good at home, Wigan in brilliant form generally, and this could be an unstoppable force against an immovable object. Bang, right down the middle, draw. If it is, you get your money back, of course, on the draw-no bet. Or you could play, if you wanted to, the draw at 21-10. That was 2-1, I think, earlier in the week. Wigan, though, with the form they're in, you're not losing. You are losing a point in a bit. But you look at it and you think, well, why wouldn't I want to slightly err towards Wigan while having the safety of the draw in my hands? So 10-11 for me, draw no bet, looks absolutely superb. And the last one that I think is very, very interesting indeed is Yordi Gomez anytime. Mm. Now, he has been obviously very good in front of goal recently, back-to-back goals for him. He's 2-1. He takes free kicks, he takes penalties, and he's very, very good. With a good little bit of goal scoring form behind him, 2-1 any time looks brilliant.
Yeah, I like that. Do you know another player? I mean, just one that to keep an eye on, really. I was tempted to put him up as my bet of the week, but it's just too adventurous, really. And that's Callum McManaman. I mean, if you think back to last season, he had an incredible end to the season last year, and he's just starting to come back into that type of form. I've got a friend who covers Wigan week in, week out, and he was raving about him. 2-1 for him to score any time in this one. It's not a big enough price for me, really, because he's not quite got there yet, but I think he's a player to have a look at, especially at home, maybe when they're if they've got a game where they could rattle, you know, maybe score two or three. I think he's one to keep an eye on. Finally, Bolton Brighton, Pete. Bolton, what a topsy-turvy season they've had. They're 6-4 to beat Brighton. It's 2-1 the price for the draw, and Brighton, Hove Albion are 2-1 as well. Brighton are 8th, 53 points, so just outside the playoffs, kind of doing it on the quiet, as they always tend to do, really. They're just beating QPR at home on Tuesday night, had a 1-1 draw with Reading, beat Millwall before that. Bolton, you know, they followed up that dreadful run through January right into the middle of February, and then suddenly haven't lost a game in five. Drew with Derby County, 0-0. Drew with Millwall, either side of the three wins against Watford, Blackburn and Leeds United, as we've already discussed. You know, on league position, Brighton should have the edge, but not sure really at the minute. Brighton are going well again. Bolton are going well again, sorry.
They are, and certainly at home, that's where the base all season of their ability to stay up has come from. I mean, for all the negativity thrown at Dougie Freeman and Bolton, sometimes quite fairly, sometimes not, they've only lost at home four times all season. They're not a team who lose at home a great deal. They're a team who get battered sometimes away. But the way they've done things recently, yes, Watford are woeful on the road, but they beat them 2-0. And yes, They hit Blackburn for four and looked so good in what is still, I suppose, technically a bit of a derby, isn't it? With the Brighton away form recently, though, there is worries. I mean, they haven't scored in three of the last five away. Now, OK, going to Burnley not scoring, drawing 0-0 is a great result. Going to Derby and losing narrowly, not a bad result in the scheme of things. But they scraped past Blackpool, they scraped past Millwall, and by scraped, I'm not talking about performance, I'm just talking about result. 1-0, and of course, I think the game against Millwall was a penalty as well that won Brighton that game. And as good as their form is, and it is, you know, three wins from five, very decent, they've got to be nervy about Wigan behind them. You know, even Ipswich, if they can get a win, which I don't think they will this weekend, but if they can get a win this weekend, there are teams who can put more and more pressure on Brighton chasing down this top six. First and foremost, I mean, again, for Stuart Holden, who is such an important player around around Bolton, to be out again for 9 months.
Awful for him.
It's horrible. And
although,
and
did you see the picture that he posted on Twitter?
I
sent it out earlier in the week. He posted a picture, I think it was kind of thanking everyone, and he said, it's not all bad. I am spending the rest of my life with, and then named his girlfriend or his wife. And, you know what I mean? I felt sorry for him up until that point. She's an attractive young lady, I think it's fair to say. So I'll post it again so you can have a look. So, there is a silver lining to his cloud.
Yeah, there is.
Get to spend more time with her.
But as a player, there's nothing that crushes you like
that. And everyone says, Pete, that he's, you know, I've never met the guy, but everyone who's interviewed him or met him says he's, you know, genuinely first-class, nice guy.
Yeah, he is. I've met him and he is. And
coming from you, Pete, that's even better, I think.
Yeah, especially as I hate most people, so I think it's lovely. what I like as well, Dougie Freeman, of course, talking about giving him assurances that when he comes back, he'll still get a chance at Bolton. I think it's a lovely thing to do. I think he's now facing an uphill battle, isn't he, with two long-term injuries and now another 9 months.
While we're talking about that, can I just mention another thing? Wigan giving Ben Watson a contract. I love that.
Yeah, I like that.
Brilliant. That's all. Just that. Just
no, I like that. I like that. I think it's a classy move. I mean, in terms of Stuart Holden, he's one of the best players at Bolton if he can get fit. He's brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of Ben Watson, he's had two really good years, hasn't he? Scoring important goals for Wigan. And it's no surprise because they've been contributing, or at least Stuart Holden around the club contributes a huge amount as ambassador as well. But I do like that. I think it's a classy move when these long-term injuries and clubs don't just eject players. I think it's a classy move. But for me, I think at the moment, there's a positivity starting to just filter slowly into Bolton after what's been a very, very sort of dark, grey season for them. And looking really at the form of Brighton as well, I can't be with them because they've that lack of ability to score away goals. I know one was at Derby. I know one game was at Burnley when they failed to score. But Bolton are cracking at home. And I think 6-4 with a little bit of upturning form that Bolton are experiencing recently is a really, for me, good way in. And I'm happy to play them on the outrights. I really am, because that home form has kind of gone under the radar a little bit this season with people, hasn't it? Understandably, because there's been other stories, the finances and so on, and getting destroyed when they've gone away from home, Bolton, sometimes. But I think generally at home, they are absolutely trustworthy. And I think that Brighton, away from home at the moment, aren't.
Fair enough. Let's get Pete's best bets in League One and League Two next. Where are you going in League One, Pete?
Well, League One is beginning to start to sort of flesh itself out, isn't it? I mean, Wolves in absolutely, just quite frankly, sensational form. They're obviously very short this weekend against Shrewsbury. If you want to look at them, they're 1-3. Leighton Orient in okay form, they're 9-5. But don't forget that Brentford, of course, have just had their application for a new ground accepted, and that could really boost them towards a 13-8. But the one that I really like here, in what is a difficult game, is Sheffield United draw no bet. The form that Sheffield United find themselves in, if you're just looking at five-game form, back-to-back wins, they are dragging themselves kicking and screaming through the leagues, playing really well. And Preston, yes, are a very good side indeed. Fourth in the league, have won, I think, three of the last five, are a very dangerous side indeed. But I think it's worth taking the draw no bet here, because you might as well. 6-4, the draw no bet price. The form that Sheffield Wednesday are in, the momentum that Sheffield Wednesday are in right now, that for me is absolutely a good enough price to want to take that punt, because they are just flying. And as great as Preston are, and there can be no argument about their quality of form at the moment, one thing remains: Sheffield United are flying.
Every game's just another win, isn't it, for them? Brilliant. League Two?
If I was to ask you, Lee, who have taken the most points in League 2 in 2014, what would your answer be?
The most points in 2014. I'm presuming it's not Chesterfield then.
No.
That's a good question, that.
It's none of
down
the
York?
It is York. It's none of the... Yeah, it's York.
Yes.
They brought in...
That
William
is a surprise, though.
Yeah, they brought in William Hayhurst, and they just seem to have just charged out of nowhere. They've actually got playoff... They've got outside playoff
chances. Because they were right near the bottom before, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah, they've absolutely flown up, and it shows you how difficult League Two is, really. It's an incredibly difficult, chaotic league, and it's just... It's hard work for any team in it. They lost back-to-back games at the beginning of the year as well. I mean, if you think about it like that as well, I mean, they lost games against Hartlepool and Chesterfield back-to-back, and since then, they've just been absolutely unbelievable. They brought in William Hayhurst, that was, I think, a very good signing, and they're playing Wickham this weekend. Now, Wickham are a side improving massively, have won three of the last five games, have won them by a goal each time, and there's nothing wrong with that. But they haven't been playing away from Adams Park a great deal. And while York have drawn three of the last five at home 0-0, the one thing that stands out to me is the price. 6-4 for a side who are absolutely flying against the Wickham side who, yep, are in decent form, but in terms of quality, if York are at even 90% of how they're playing at the moment, they will go. The other thing to say, and I think it's an important thing, is a lot of Wickham's good defensive work is done by Josh Scowen. Very good player, gets his foot in, and he's controversial at times as well, but he's a very good player, and he's an important defensive anchor. He's suspended for this game, and I think that makes Wickham all that much weaker as well. So I think York at 6-4 is an absolute banging price.
Nice. Both teams to score double this week. I've not had much luck with it recently. I say luck, it's just been bad picks, really, I suppose. But I'm going for two, rather than picking them on the stats necessarily, I'm going for two that I like. One of the games that Pete mentioned, Ipswich versus Wigan, I can really see in that resulting in both teams scoring. I mean, Ipswich can be quite tight at home, but I think Wigan will score. Wigan's away performances, they tend to score and concede. Cardiff, Brighton, Forest, obviously at Man City, and others earlier in the season. So Ipswich versus Wigan, and both teams going for it as well. That's even money. And another Championship game that Pete mentioned, which is Millwall versus Charlton. Same thing, really. Charlton have got to go out and score, and I think Millwall will get a goal at home. That's even money as well. So a nice price one. Anyone who can't work that out, two even money shots in a double is 3-1. Ipswich, Wigan, Millwall, Charlton, both teams to scores. Yes, no winners for either of us on the naps last week. Pete, unfortunately, no, you had Huddersfield to win. I had Adam Clayton to score.
Again, not a bad week in the actual picks. Just yet again, a man who can't pick, who picks the worst bet of all of them, of all of his every week, which is me at the moment. But yeah, not bad. If you listen to the podcast, you tend to be doing okay. If you listen to the naps, you're having a nightmare.
Yeah, just switch off with about 3 minutes to go then. Is that your advice now then?
Or just back against the nap, I suppose, is probably another
way. Yeah, just lay the nap. Lay the nap. That should be the name of this podcast. Lay the nap. It's -£70.87 for you, +£93.09 for me. Where are you going this week, Pete?
Burnley at 3-4.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that one. I'm not going to repeat what that guy said on Twitter, but it was quite funny. It was a great little phrase. It's a horrible thing to say, but it was funny. But if you get Burnley beat this weekend, I'd be amazed.
If I get Burnley beat and I get stick on Twitter about picking them at 3-4 to beat Leeds in the form that Leeds are in, then there's no justice in the world. but it's 3-4 Burnley. I mean, it just seems like, I mean, you know, Leeds still don't know who's owning the club, of course. 10 days now, the Football League have said, until that decision is assumedly made. And it just doesn't seem to be working, does it, at the moment? He'd gone 3-5-2, I think, the other day, Brian McDermott as well, and it hadn't worked in the past. It's just getting to a stage now where they're safe. They're absolutely safe, but it's just messy. And 3-4 for a side who've not lost at home all season, who are the second best team in the league and absolutely unbelievable, looks like a price you need to get on as early as possible. And for once, an app that if it doesn't land, I will at least feel justified in putting it up.
Yeah, fair enough. I've got a bit of a quirky one this week.
All right.
I don't know where this came from in my mind, but once I latched onto it, I couldn't really get rid of it, to be honest with you. It's Cheltenham, right? basically based around the Cheltenham Racing Festival. I just sat watching a bit of the highlights the other night, Pete, and I thought, I wonder how Cheltenham get on after the festival. I don't know why, you know, I just, you know, it's something, one of those things you do. And they've got a remarkable record after the Cheltenham Festival. They, I've gone back as far as 2006. I don't know why, that's as far back as I got, and it just never changed. They've won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the last 8 years following the Cheltenham Festival.
Right.
They lost one when Gillingham beat them 3-0 in 2011. They won 3-0 last year, 3-2 away from home the year before. They drew 1-1 the year before that, 2-0, 1-0, 2-0 away. And in 2006, like I said, the furthest I went back, they won 1-0 away from home then as well. So you might think, and then this week, it happens, they're playing Torquay.
Yeah, I was about to say, but I thought they had Torquay this weekend.
Their odds against to win the match, right, 11-10. Which, you know, I could, you know...
Their home form's pretty shoddy, isn't it, Cheltenham?
Yeah. So what I'm going to play... So I looked at over 2.5 goals in the match, which is 5-4, backable. I'm going to go for Cheltenham to score over 1.5 goals at 13-10 as my nap. I think that's the safest way, because Torquay, I'm not sure they can score. I think Cheltenham will score 2 goals. That, by the way, it's a nice market to play that if you're not sure about the match goals market. If you go onto the match, Cheltenham versus Torquay, click on goals tab right at the bottom. You'll see Cheltenham and Torquay's over and under goals. So Cheltenham under over 1.5 goals, over 1.5, 13-10. Look,
you spent ages looking at post-Cheltenham form.
Yeah.
Don't you have kids?
Yeah, it was when they were in bed. Don't worry.
Oh, right, okay.
Like I said, I was watching the highlights. It was late at night. I don't know why. I don't even know why it happened.
You sometimes get these things in your head, don't you?
Yeah, I'll check it. And then, I mean, you check a million of these things and none of them come out. But I just like the way that they starts with. Originally, I was going to go for Cheltenham and over 2.5. Cheltenham to score 3 or more goals in the game. That's 9-2, but let's be safe and go 13-10 for them to score 2 or more goals in the game.
Do you know what I really like as well? I really like that you've spent ages doing that when you could have just looked and gone, well, talk are you bad?
Yeah, and, I know. I didn't look at the fixture beforehand. Yeah, that was a funny thing.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that Cheltenham's home form is not good recently. No, I haven't looked at it, but I think it's... They've certainly only won one of the last 5, but they did beat Bury last time at home, I think. So
I don't know. Obviously, I'm going on the idea that there's a feel-good factor around the time, and there might be a few extra people in the crowd if they're staying over for the week. You know, it's one of them, isn't it? It's king of the mug bets, that one. But 13-10.
But I think it's pretty good. I think it's a good bet, that.
Yeah, it's different, isn't it? We'll see. This will be the year that it gets kiboshed, obviously.
Jealous of that bet, actually, truth be told.
You can have it as your own if you want.
No, you're all right. I've got a cracker of a nap this weekend.
You'll be regretting that soon.
How many times have I said that this week, this year?
How many rounds have we had?
Oh, 1,000.
Pete, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much, mate.
Cheers, Pete. If you want to listen to the podcast, it's available at williamhill.com/podcast. You can subscribe at iTunes, or you can go to Audioboo and have a listen there. Thanks for downloading, and good luck if you're having a bet on any of the matches that we've discussed this week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.